We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This thing on?
See, now I'm getting mad.
Because it's getting ready to be on.
I want my whiskey to bite me a little bit.
This is the kind of psychopath that I hang out with.
I got beat up outside of a Denny's.
The Rock Pile Report with Buffalo Bills season ticket holder Drew Geer.
He likes to get in the X's nose. Something I can't do with this podcast because I drink too much.
Chris Kruger.
My rollerblading blonde mohawk producer.
The pettiest, hardest drinking Bills podcast.
I'm an adult. I know what I'm about.
Everybody to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast. I am your host, Bills season ticket holder Drew Geer. That's my producer, Chris Kruger. And to my left, Chris, we are here catching up with the captain ahead of training camp, Mr. Reed Ferguson. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. I love what you guys have done with the place. This is fantastic.
It almost like it. Chris and I are the farthest thing from professionals. But the setup, if you were to put two people who might not look like they were heading into like small claims court in a suit and tie, like if you brought them in here, this would feel like a professional setup.
Absolutely. I wish I had something like this of my own.
Well, someday.
Someday. I'm about to hire Chris to come set my studio up.
So that's Mr. Reed Ferguson, Buffalo Bills long snapper, Buffalo Bills team captain, barbecue influencer, and one of the ringleaders of hashtag Grills Mafia.
That's right.
Cameo star? Really? Cameo?
What about it?
What are you doing?
I mean,
Chris, can we talk about it? I almost feel like this is like an intervention here.
Okay.
Cameo?
What's the?
Nothing. It's just hilarious.
The first I'm hearing about it.
It's just hilarious to me that a guy who wasn't like super comfortable doing like public speaking stuff when you first started out here now has a cameo.
I was influenced by some other people that did it. They said that it's like a nice, like a good way to make some extra cash on the side while also reaching out to fans and stuff. So,
Chris, what's worse, the fact that he does a cameo or the fact that he only charges $39 for it?
That's it.
$39.
$69.
Should be $69.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, have a little pride. You're better than that.
I don't know if anybody would pay for it if it's $69.
Here's the worst. Here's the worst part of this whole thing. Your brother Blake, $49. So does he get $10 more than you because he has hair? Like, is that what this is? You're bald, he's not, so he gets $10?
It's worth the extra $10.
To see the flow?
Yep. Yeah. Worth the extra $10.
He's got more
followers. He kind of does the whole, you know, he's way more active on
he's
social
Hype City.
And stuff.
He's Hype City.
I get it. I'm not amiss, you know, to each their own.
That's hilarious. And you are the co-host of the After the Snap podcast with your brother, Miami long snapper Blake Ferguson. And you guys, well, first
produced
of all,
by me.
Produced by, yes. I guess I should throw Chris in there. He does produce the show.
Does a great
so
job.
He
does a great job. Maybe an adequate job for you guys. He does a great job for us.
Yeah, because I go through the podcast with a fine tooth comb.
I have to say he does a great job for us, strictly because of the interview, the intro. The intro is magic.
He really is. Like, I know I diss Chris a lot, but no, he's phenomenal at what he does. And I'm glad that he's producing your guys' show because I think it sounds great. Here, let's crack a beer. Cheers.
Crack a beer. What did you give me here?
I don't even know that it has a label on it. I just know that it's from San Diego. I believe Andrew McGowan sent it to us.
Andrew McGowan sent it to us. So
thank you, Andrew.
He's probably shitting himself right now.
San Diego, California.
Yep.
Yeah.
San Diego IPAs, sir. So let's talk about this first. So after the Snap, your podcast just celebrated its first anniversary. How's it feel to finally have something in common with Chris and I here?
You know, common folk.
And the rest of us dorks in their mother's basement, quote unquote, running podcasts.
It's been great. Blake and I have thoroughly enjoyed spending, you know, a couple hours every week talking to each other. I think I've enjoyed it from that aspect because after, you know, we got 7 months in college together, we had a little bit of high school together, a little bit of college together, and then after that we kind of just parted ways. And you know, I've been in Buffalo for the majority of, you know, the majority of each year the past 6 years. And then, you know, he's been finishing college, not as much off time, you know, like to travel and go home. When, you know, our schedules didn't really link up a lot. And it's been I've enjoyed it from just getting that's a way for me to hang out with him for a couple hours during the week when I haven't normally gotten a couple hours to do that. You know, past couple years, that's a big part of it for me. I also like, you know, what we can bring. We can bring an off the field voice and kind of peel back the curtain a little bit for the fans and for people that support us and kind of what we're all about. So like that part I'm enjoying as well. But it's been great. We're having a blast. We've got some great guests coming up.
It comes out next week, so if you want to drop...
I was going to say, do Chris knows
I know
who we're having on next week.
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday. The two separate. We're pre-recording one of them.
Yeah.
But one, we're recording an interview next week. I guess I'll tease it or just announce it here.
You can announce... this is coming out, what, Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Monday.
So this is coming out Monday.
So next Tuesday... we'll have number 17, Josh Allen, on the podcast.
No shit.
So,
congratulations.
How did you get him on the podcast?
Well,
does he even talk
to
specialists?
Yeah, we were just hanging out. He was playing some ping pong, and I was like, hey, man, come join the pod. It's funny, though, because we had, I guess, gosh, it was about a month ago, Chris, maybe, Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
About a month ago. I think it was right after we... reported back up here for our off-season stuff. We recorded with Jalen, and I think Blake, that podcast did well. His teammates kind of saw we were doing some stuff, you know, like, oh, Jalen was on, you know, I think Blake told me, like, Tyreek Hill was like, when you having me on the podcast? Or like he's going to eventually be on the podcast. So it's like he wants to be on it. Some other guys reach out to Blake, hey, when are you getting me on the podcast? We had Gabe on the podcast, I think, 2 weeks later after Jalen, or maybe it was the next week. I can't remember. And then I had a couple guys ask me, like, hey, you know, hey, I heard you, you know, I saw you. You had Gabe on the podcast. Isaiah McKenzie came on. He's like, when are you getting me on the podcast? So, of course, Isaiah McKenzie, we obviously have more
in common
with each other because he owns a barbecue restaurant in Miami, Florida, or a couple locations.
Mm-hmm.
So like that is going to be probably a hefty section of the podcast we talk about.
I got to talk to Isaiah McKenzie for 20 minutes my entire life. I got 20 minutes of FaceTime with the dude, and the only thing I could ask about was barbecue. Dude's a brisket fanatic.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He's great at branding himself. But to back to the original question, it's been great. We've enjoyed it. We've got a lot of great guests. We're having more you know, great guests. So
yeah, you're blowing up.
Here. Yeah, so we're hoping to. I told Josh. I asked him like, you know, a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, you come on the podcast, no problem. Let's do it. And I said, I just want to get you on before he does the match with Mahomes, Brady, and Rodgers. So
that'll be
that's where kind of that will I definitely be asking him about that.
But, so that's going to be an incredible listen. Everybody needs to go check it out. You know what's hilarious? Hearing this, Chris, the only people who ever like really approach us hard and be like, "Hey, when are you getting me on the podcast?" It's the drunks I play softball with, and the guys who get hammered with us at tailgates. Those are the guys who are like, well, "Let me on the podcast. I'll tell these people what's up."
No. I will put the kibosh on that immediately.
I love that you guys have really kind of taken off and found your own way through this. It's here, cheers, dude.
Yeah,
it's,
cheers.
It's been fun watching this blow up for you. So, the Grills Mafia thing. I hate an incredible amount of what social media brings into just my... We talk about it. We joke about it all the time. We're narcissists, so most of what goes on social media just rolls off of us because I can just ignore it.
There's a certain part of social media that is narcissistic.
Yeah, but if you're a narcissist in the right way,
well,
because it's not so much I'm going to tell you everything I think like it's correct.
Right.
It's that. I don't have to say anything.
Because
I have opinions, and your opinions don't matter enough to me to take them in.
Yep.
But I hate a lot of what I see out there. And so it's been kind of fun that this whole Grills Mafia is slowly becoming a movement.
I mean, it's... was that your break for me to answer?
Well, no, but I'm looking at you and I'm thinking to myself, how did you get involved in this? And what was your, not even involved, but
Traeger.
Where did this whole thing come from?
Traeger.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely started it. Traeger reached out to me when I made the team a couple years, you know, back a couple years ago and wanted to send me a grill. I had never really had much experience up until then, just really kind of doing it with my dad at home. And
don't worry. I remember when you couldn't cook.
I know. I know.
I remember you living in Chris's back room.
Yep.
Just Wegmans.
Yep.
Every meal of the day was Chef Wegmans was cooking for you.
Well, I it was only Wegmans because Chris told me I couldn't go to Subway anymore.
Yeah. The first time you were coming over,
First night you guys were recording.
Yep.
First night I was back. It was.
You had just signed the practice squad.
Yep.
And then you were like, "Hey, is it cool if I stop at Subway and bring a sub over?" And I was like, "What you're going to do is you're going to leave your hotel."
I probably still have, you know what? While you're telling the story, I'm going to see if I can look back and see if I have that text from.
That would be great. That would be great if you did, because I told Reed, I go, "You're going to leave your hotel. You're going to take a left out of your hotel. You're going to go to the traffic light. It's essentially Slade and Orchard Park Road. You're going to take a right. And then you're going to take your first left into the Wegmans. You're going to go inside the Wegmans, enter in the right side entrance, and when you walk in, go immediately to the right to the deli, and it's going to be like a public sub, except on steroids.
Yep.
It's going to be so much better.
Game changer.
He was spot on. I don't have the text anymore. I'm sorry.
Here's
but
my question.
That's spot on. It was like he sent me an instruction manual. A step-by-step,
so
very
then,
detailed.
What I love about this, though, is so you went from being that guy to being the guy who's now, hey, Traeger sends me a grill, and they want to kind of do some stuff with me, and this is going to be fun.
Not only that, you went to Salt Lake City.
Now you're being asked to attend summits, barbecue summits.
Yeah. I would have never guessed if you had told me that 6 years ago. But, go back to your original question. I think it's been – I mean, it's – you guys have – seen it. I mean, you're in it now. I mean, it's totally organic.
Yep.
And
grassroots movement.
It started last March, over a year ago, really on Twitter, and now we're on Instagram. But I think it's been great. I think
now there's merch.
Merch shirts. Now.
And
you know what? Just a quick aside on that. I posted a while back. A message a guy said sent me. I don't know. Did you see it?
Yeah.
as if I was trying to take advantage and like earn money off. That's totally not. We're sending a huge portion of our proceeds to charities and stuff. Mm-hmm. So this is very much not for financial gain. Definitely trying to improve and build the community.
Yeah, he's not Dan Snyder here, folks. Yeah, he's not trying to profit here.
I'm not hiding. I'm not hiding shirt prices.
Yeah.
From
you can't really profit off of Grills Mafia if that face is your target audience.
He's pointing at me, folks, and you're right. He's got a point.
That's fair.
Here's one thing that I'll say. I struggle to get over the idea that you're a Traeger guy.
No, like, I'll have this conversation with you if you want to have this conversation.
Okay, let's have it. I think that
I have a charcoal grill that I love to cook on. I have a gas grill that I love to cook on. And I also have a couple Traegers.
Okay. See, now this is what I was going to ask.
I'm all three.
Because Traeger, it's like an outdoor oven.
That is fair. And that's fair.
And as somebody who's kind of a purist about this thing,
that's fair.
Both Iman and I, yes. Iman, the Q42 barbecue.
Yep, he's great. Great sauce.
Yeah, we're both purists about that kind of thing.
That's fair.
And so seeing the whole Traeger thing, like obviously, and because you've seen it, you start a Twitter thread about what you're cooking, and you mentioned Traeger, and you got 400 people commenting on it. Going back, it turns into a shit show pretty quickly. Can we at least agree that no matter how you're cooking it, Traeger, charcoal, gas grill, it's still better than sous vide? Like, we've got Nate Geary and Bruce Nolan out here running around trying to act like sous vide is real cooking. I got news for you, boys. If it takes you 5 to 6 hours to prep a steak, and you still have to heat up a pan in order to finish it, you're not cooking, you're just dicking around. You're someone with way too much
time.
You need a hobby. What you need is another hobby besides whatever this is.
Okay, so I'll have this conversation. I think that is totally legit argument.
Mm-hmm.
I will say from a, you can join me on this, soon to be second dad.
Oh, no, he's
time
here.
Around again.
Tommy's here. I've got
Tommy,
two boys.
No, sorry.
We're fighting here. For sleep over
Tom,
here.
Tom, we're T-H-O-M.
Relatively
Tom.
New dad.
Yep.
13 months ago.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're strapped for time.
That is true.
I think one advantage and one highly sought after aspect of the Traeger community is the simplicity, convenience of it, while still you can still churn out a delicious whatever you want to cook. You can't sear on the new one, you can, because they have an offset
stovetop
on the side of it. So like they're
I'm surprised he doesn't have the model number, Chris. I was waiting for him to pull out like a fact sheet, like a car salesman, and be like, "So, on the model so and so."
Yeah. I mean, it's a fair argument.
Okay.
I came prepared.
Okay. So, and I will hear that.
I know there's a couple people in the community that have that share the feeling. I understand that, and I agree that it's hard to beat something over wood fire, charcoal fire. It's hard to beat it.
Now hear me
totally
out.
Understand.
The only counterpoint I'll offer before we move on here. You said dad, two kids, new dad. I've got two kids now. You're talking about convenience. You're talking about time. Sometimes that, hey, I got to go stand outside for 15, 20 minutes and just monitor the hell out of this thing because it's going to burn. That 20 minutes, some days of just me and a beer and my grill and outside and quiet, that might be the 20 minutes I get for the day. That's just mine. And no one can mess with it. Not my neighbors, not my coworkers.
Understandable. That is totally understandable.
So
hopefully I find out in a couple years how, what that's like.
Exactly. But in a couple years, you'll know the feeling. But for now, enjoy it. And look, we'll agree to disagree.
Yeah, we'll cheers.
We'll toast to that.
How is that San Diego beer? Do you have... We haven't done a beer review on.
Haven't done a beer review
on After the Snap in a while. No. How is that?
It's delicious. I told Drew I wanted something light. This is fantastic. It's got a little like a citrusy.
All right.
I'm trying to look at it.
Well, from here I can see that the can is orange.
Yeah.
So
orange can.
Screams
very clean.
Citrus.
My favorite colors, honestly. Yeah, this is delicious.
Well, there, it's, Andrew McGowan.
Andrew, you nailed it.
North Park Beer Company. Murky IPA. I'm sorry. Murky IPA.
See? You nailed it, Andrew.
Yeah,
this is
delicious.
Another hitter.
San Diego, California. 6.5%.
And I'll tell you this, as far as the Grills Mafia community is concerned, check it out on social media, guys, because we've got something coming up here in the next month that I think some of you might be interested in.
Yes.
If you're interested in, I don't know, shaking some hands, eating some food, getting to say hi, maybe raising a glass, just follow along with Grills Mafia on Twitter. You get some more information in the coming weeks, but we got something fun coming down the pipeline. Now, obviously, at some point during this podcast, we're going to have to talk about football or our listeners will mutiny.
Sure.
But it would funny if you and I just sat here and shot the shit about how much I hate baseball. We argued about Traegers for an hour and a half.
Yep.
Like, this is the type of stuff we do like.
Well, it's hard for me to hear you say you hate baseball when in the studio.
Yeah, it's on
a 65-inch TV. 65-inch full screen facing us, I think, a little more than Chris.
Yeah.
Rita put that on specifically for you.
Yeah.
Now, it is a Thursday.
Yeah.
Within the baseball season, Thursday, not typically a heavy game day.
Yep.
A lot of the games were already happened this afternoon. Reed's Yankees ended up losing in the bottom of the ninth to the Orioles. But yeah,
two out of three.
I do have the Diamondbacks and Cubs on in the studio.
There comes a point every single summer where there is literally. Here's where I'm a degenerate. Well, actually, no, there's a million other ways I'm a degenerate, but here's one of my degenerate tendencies. I'm a sucker for any, like, at a certain point, I just need a beer and something you can keep scoring. I'll watch anything, but I kind of need it. So, curling, if that's what's on, I'm your target audience now for however long I can hang out and drink a beer and watch this.
There was
at
a
some
point
every summer, we hit this dead spell where there is
nothing but baseball.
July.
And I find myself fighting the urge to pay attention to it. I don't want to, but a part of me is dragging me towards it because it's like, well, there's a contest on. There's guys doing something. It's better than watching what network TV sitcoms.
Yeah.
Put a gun in my mouth.
There is a point in time where when you were living with me in South Buffalo, I remember specifically waking up on a Saturday morning and you had a plate of food in front of you that would make Waffle House jealous, and you had soccer on.
Yes.
I'm like, all right. And I sit there and I watched soccer with you, and I was like, all right, we're going to have to go to Mezcal.
Yeah, and then you two started going out for soccer brunch, and I was like,
what was your buddy's name that lived above Mezcal?
Dan Pelgrin.
Tottenham fan, I think.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur.
Yep.
But there's a thing that Reed and I have as far as a connection where, like, I can sit down and watch a sporting event if the person I'm watching with is, like, extremely into it. You were...
Okay. Chris
you
loved made, going to MSK with
him. Yeah.
You see, made, I can see that.
You made this giant plate of breakfast food, and you're I'm watching soccer until like 11.
Like a kid on Saturday mornings with cartoons? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, we're going to have to go to
MSK. First game's at 7:30.
Yeah.
Then you have the 9:30 or 10 o'clock games. Then you got the 12:30 game. Sometimes there's a 3 o'clock game.
If you like soccer, that's a great time. Chris, I can...
Then you watch Sunday Night Baseball? I mean,
I will hear some of what you're saying because there's a... I detest to the point where I'll mock them to their fans, to Ohio State. I hate Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing I can point to in my entire life for having that feeling is because James Potter, my college roommate, one of my best friends, he was a Michigan fan. And so he detested Ohio State. Yep. And I just, okay, that's it. All right, screw Ohio State forever. And so if someone else is super into a rivalry or into a sport, I can see how you get pulled into that.
Yeah. I mean,
we did a thing for a little bit where we went to some baseball games.
Yeah, yeah.
Went Cleveland, to Pittsburgh to see the Yankees. Yep. Cleveland to see Houston after they won the World Series.
Yes.
In which that's...
Asterisk.
But the Cleveland trip was fantastic because that's where we learned about putting peanuts inside a bottle of Coke.
Oh, my God.
And we went at Cleveland... We went to a soccer bar to watch Champions League final.
Yes.
Liverpool, Real Madrid.
God.
Yeah. That's where
it was packed.
Yeah. It was
we were shoulder to shoulder like it was an hour and a half before the match even started.
And this is what I think. I think hearing about that trip sounds like a nightmare to me. But I bet you being in the moment, it was probably fine.
Oh, yeah, it was a fantastic trip. We're teaching somebody from the South about the South.
So to bring this back around, me, like having baseball on in our studio in the middle of a football podcast seems like sacrilege. And yet knowing that Reed likes it, I'm like, all right. Because I don't feel like I have to kiss Reed's ass. I feel like we could put anything
on.
But it's one of those things where him being into that, I'm like, all right, Marcus Stroman's pitching. I know that name. I know he's good. I watched him in that world, what was the World Classic where all the countries played, and Stroman set the world on fire.
Yep.
Okay, I know a little bit about this guy. I can watch the sporting event now. Because we're reaching that point where there's nothing else to do.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we're at the point where there hasn't been one day or evening since opening day that I haven't had a game on at some point during the day. Part of that is because of like fantasy team and stuff like that. Like I'm watching games I wouldn't normally watch, but the analytics, like the numbers part of it, is so fascinating to me.
I think
exit velo, like spin rate on the pitching side of things, like I am so fascinated, and a lot of it is starting to come into the broadcast.
Okay, but
so like they talk about it, and it's just like, that's the fascinating part.
I watch guys get wrung out, and all I do is I watch the pitcher throw balls, and then they punch that guy out, and I go, okay, I don't need to watch this sport. Yeah, this sucks.
They're showing it right now. Even by the time a home run happens and then the batter is about to touch home plate, they already have the exit velocity up, the projected distance on the home run ball.
Nerds!
Yeah.
Nerds!
Yeah. I'm into it. I'm Nerds. All into it.
Oh, you guys are killing me. We got to get back to football.
I mean, they're doing the same thing in football. They're doing the same thing in football.
And it's football and it's amazing.
Baseball's amazing too.
Yeah.
Oh God.
They're doing what does Sunday Night Football do on every broadcast? They put up every field goal.
Here, I thought you and I had made
every
inroads.
Field goal's got the field goal tracker.
Yeah,
would have been good from 67
yards.
I thought
that Reed and I had made progress from the Hatfields and McCoys thing with the Traeger versus the non-Traeger, and we're going right back to it over baseball and football. And
this is worse than the Traeger.
Drew, you know that baseball has its own Ed Hockley called Angel Hernandez.
Oh, yeah. He's the worst. He's worse than Ed. Ed's bad. He's worse than Ed.
It's just a mess. It's all a mess, and I can't do it to myself, at least not yet. Yeah. Call me in July, and maybe I'll give a damn about any of this.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think a great place to start, if there's a question I could ask you as we pivot towards football, what does it mean to you knowing that you are now the longest tenured active Buffalo Bill? He's got to clear his throat for it. I love it.
It's an incredible honor. Something that when I first signed, probably didn't cross my mind as a realistic goal. You know, you're just trying to make the team at that point.
Because the tenure of long snappers in the NFL,
longest at that's the longest of any position.
Yeah,
average career.
Because if you're in,
you're in.
You're in.
It's humbling at the same time because come a long way, but also it says a lot about where we've come as a team, because this is only my seventh year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know,
it turned around rapidly.
Yeah. Pretty quick.
I mean, with Jerry signing in Houston, you're the last one in a Bills uniform right now who was still around for the, we'll call it a shit show that existed before. You can respectfully just kind
fair.
Of...
That's fair. From a...
The coach had never spoken to you.
Fair.
The coach had never spoken to you before. Sean McDermott came and had lunch with you.
That's fair.
I mean, fair. This is the difference. There's a difference there. Now, what I love is, does it make you feel old? Because you're not even 30. And
doesn't
you're the
make
old-
me feel, doesn't make me feel old because... Nah.
Nah. All right.
It's... I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know to does it make me feel old. I don't know when do people normally start to feel old?
For me, it was the moment I turned 30.
See, but like when I turn 30, I'm probably not going to be like, oh, I'm old.
No.
Oh, I feel old. Like,
at the age of 30, both my knees started to hurt in ways that they didn't before.
For Drew, it was last week when he struck out. Looking and slow pitch softball.
Oh, no. Do you see the video?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. We'll show it to you afterwards. Mark Smith, the guy who sent in this horrific
I know Mark's Twitter account.
So
I don't know Mark personally.
Mark not only got the video, he's going to put it up on the screen in front of you. See, this is the beauty of our new studio. He's going to play it for you. Well, he pulls it up. He also paid real hard-earned American dollars to have the Titanic music put behind it. Look at that. I just watched it come in.
Play it again.
I even laid off. It's full screen. Oh, my God.
Wait, how is that a strike?
It hit the plate.
It hit the very front of the plate.
That's the rules?
Rules. All it has to do is touch the front of the plate.
No
doesn't
way.
That look like it's going to be short? In my defense.
It doesn't. Why are you standing so far back? If it just has to touch the plate, if you swing... Yeah, that's your fault. That's 100%
on you. It is 100%
my fault.
The best is that this is... This is almost to 5,000 views. Almost to 5,000 views.
5,000 people have watched me strike out in slow pitch softball.
I'm going to retweet that later.
We said it's legitimately, like, it's on the Mount Rushmore of most egregious things you could do wrong in just any sport, rec sport, doesn't matter.
Strikeout
looking in
backwards
slow pitch.
K in slow pitch softball.
In slow pitch. So
that's pretty good.
So that made me feel old.
Of course.
I was like, holy shit, how did this happen?
I don't know when. I mean, it doesn't. Nah. I mean, I'm still in my 20s, so I guess I don't feel old now, but I mean, I don't know.
But by NFL standards.
Talk to me in a couple years.
By NFL standards, you're a veteran. You're a seasoned vet.
Yeah.
Grizzled.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, sure. I don't feel old, though.
All right.
I don't feel old.
You'll get there. Oh,
I don't feel
wait.
Old because I'm not... I may be the longest tenured on the team, but I'm not...
You're not the oldest
I'm not the oldest guy. I don't have the most years in the league on the team. So it's not... I mean, maybe when it gets to that time, maybe. Hopefully. when it gets to that time. But,
going into a season like this one, right, the Bills are... There's a lot of outside pressure on this team to succeed. There's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of people who feel that this team is going to be highly successful this season. It's pretty much, I mean, it's driving a national narrative. It was enough to land this team the opening night game to start the NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
Being one of these tenured veteran core members of the team in this kind of leadership role, is there any more gravity to it now going into it with that knowledge?
I would say, I mean, I think from a trying to think of the best way to explain what I'm thinking. I think the best way from a when you take a step back, maybe from a fan's perspective, it's easy to say that because of the emotional investment over a long period of time. Seeing success, not calling you old. You saw the success
in
the 90s.
Literally a decade
old. Right?
You
saw the success in the 90s.
Yeah.
You went through, you were a fan through the drought.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're kind of kicking it up a notch.
Yeah.
And you know, we've had success these past couple of years. I think it comes with the territory. I think, Brandon Bean and Coach McDermott, I think they've done a great job of putting together a team that is capable of going all the way. As a vet, it, you know, as a vet, but as a snapper, I would say I would say I view the season and the team just, I would say I view it differently because I have a broader view. I take a broader view than some other guys who are insane. You know, I'm not saying I'm not, but insanely narrowly focused on game plan, matchups, all that kind of stuff. Right. I have a set. I have film that I watch. Mm-hmm. I have matchups that I watch. But I like to take a broader view on how's it, you know, I have enough years under my belt now where I can say, okay, we're good enough on offense to outscore any team,
mm-hmm.
right? Our defense is good enough on defense to stop any team.
But in top five defense since Sean McDermott showed up here,
exactly.
It's incredible.
They've done a great job. I think it's, and I've told a bunch of people, and I think this is a great, this is maybe a good answer to your question, but when people ask me about the Chiefs game, the playoff game,
mm-hmm.
when you get, and like I said, the guys in the building have done a great job building a team to win now mm-hmm. and reach and get to the Super Bowl and hopefully win it. I think when people ask me about that Chiefs game, when you make it that far, when you're in the second, third, last round of the playoffs, the margin for error is so minute
mm-hmm.
because, and people, a lot of people don't understand this, and I've told a lot of people this over the years. People think that, and I'm going like way off tangent here because okay. so many things are going through my mind.
That's what this podcast is. It's guys sitting around drinking beer talking football.
Okay, let me answer your question first. To answer your question, no, because I think this team has learned to play with a target on their back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been successful doing that.
Okay.
So to follow that up, so when people are like, oh, it was such a good game. You guys are so close. And it's just like when you get that far and you have a game like that where it's two teams performing at such a high level.
That's right. An all-time game.
All-time
That's
going
to go down in NFL
all-time
history
game.
As one
and
of the
we
most
lost,
watchable
And I hate to
games.
Admit it, but it's an all-time game.
All-time game. For better
the,
or worse,
there's,
that thing's going to get replayed
on
NFL Network
there's
hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times. There, you can count the number of plays on one hand like that games like that come down to.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because the skill level is so close mm-hmm. across the board. And what a lot of people don't understand is they're like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Team is so bad. Alabama could beat this team. It's just like, that's not true.
That's okay? not true.
That's not true. The skill, the difference in skill level from team 1 to team 32 is like this.
Oh yeah, no, it's you, and we saw some of that.
And
last
that is
year.
Why there is so much parity in this league.
We saw some of that last season. You know, I hate to bring it up, but the Jacksonville game.
I mean, yeah,
it's a 3-point game. Yeah. We said it during last week's podcast, the one that we dropped last week. The Bills were 5-3 on the road last year. All three of those games,
Tennessee
decided by 3 points.
Tennessee, Arizona. No, Arizona was 2 years ago.
Guys fought
Tennessee,
like hell.
Jacksonville and
Tampa.
Tampa
fought like hell. 3 points.
Yep.
3 points to a great team like Tampa. 3 points to a team like Jacksonville. Any given week, a team can come in with a game plan. A team can just get fired up behind something.
Yep.
They rally around something. It's hard to stop it.
Just get Urban to kick him a little bit and get fired up.
But so it really is just hearing from your side of the fence the way this is. I think it does a lot of our listeners good to kind of get that reaffirmation of everybody's kind of close together here. We're all talking because we as fans, we look at the league and we go, these teams, points per game are this, and this team's way up here, so obviously they're going to dominate Team X. And it's like, no, it's every
Sunday. Guys
don't
look at that. No, man,
you don't care about those stats. They don't mean anything to you.
No, I mean, it's – we and you guys know, the fans know, we've had the the large core of this team together for 3 years.
And
now,
I think that continuity is important.
Yeah. I mean, how many starters are returning from last year?
Well, that's it.
Out
and
of
that's 20, why it
22
feels,
starters.
And that's why it
19,
feels like
20 guys coming back.
Regardless of what gambling outlets might think, regardless of what the media might think, I understand why you guys as players feel like this might be the year that we have the most complete team in the NFL. Sure. Because you've grown this core of players. And then you factor in who they've brought in to kind of support and who they've drafted to bring in. It does look like one of the more complete rosters, or at least complete enough where the deficiencies that the roster has aren't. Every team is going to have warts. It's the NFL. Mm-hmm. There's no perfect roster. Yours, the Buffalo Bills are so small that, or at least things that aren't going to be as impactful, that it's easy to see where all this optimism comes from. Now, specifically talking about special teams, your area of expertise, your role, you've talked about it here on our show before over the years, your role as special teams captain is to try to get everyone on the same page, make sure that through camp, make sure that through practices, everybody, you know everybody else's job, and your job is to kind of marshal this and say, hey, we as a unit need to accomplish X. Here's your role, here's yours, let's make sure we're all on the same page. What does it mean to you knowing that in this season, the Buffalo Bills are returning, what is it? I'm looking at the numbers now. 9 of their top 10 and 16 of the top 17 players on the roster from last season in terms of special team snaps percentage.
Oh, sure. Oh, okay.
It's all of the guys who played teams here last year and did so pretty well. Mm. I mean, I think you guys, if you look at the DVOA stuff, you guys were in the top 10. Outside of AJ Klein, you're bringing back. It's like you guys got the Blues Brothers. You guys put the band back together. Yep. How does that shape what your role is, knowing that these guys don't all maybe need that level of attention to detail, help with the coaching and stuff like that?
I think it. Great question. I think it allows us to reach an even higher level of understanding with one another. We can start further ahead mm-hmm. than maybe we would with you know 8 or 9 newer guys, you know.
Oh, for sure.
To fill in a lot of
these
those
are guys
positions.
Who get it on right. NFL Sundays,
right?
You know all right. of them. They know their assignments because yeah. they've been doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's from a communication standpoint and just a general understanding. I mean. Coach Smiley has been great coming in, being the new coordinator, and then his assistant, Corey Harkey, who has previous playing experience. He's been fantastic so far. So, they're a great team working together. I think it's been great. And like I said, it allows us to start with... You know, you hit the ground running.
Yeah, well, exactly. You guys have that... I just want to hear from you. I want to make sure that I, because I, as a fan, see that, and I go, well, that continuity must matter.
Sure, sure.
Not for nothing, Coach Smiley, best interview on After the Snap, hands down.
Multiple people on social reached out and told us the same thing, so...
Yeah.
He was great. He did a great job.
Go check that episode out.
As the producer. He is the best.
Current special teams coordinator, former Air Force.
All right.
So he's great stories, great interview. He did a great job.
He may
hear this. He may not hear this. Wouldn't have pegged him for the best interview.
Okay.
But he is a blast. I've known him for 6 years, you know, going on 6 years now. He came in
He's been with the Bills for a while.
My second year. So we have a great relationship. He is he's somebody I go to for just about anything, but he's been great to me. I've learned a lot from him. He's done a lot to coach me up over the years. Great interview, provided a lot of insight. Good job.
Guys, make sure you go check out that episode of After the Snap where he talks to Coach Smiley. Hilarious.
I knew I'd do that again.
Chris, can you fix that real quick while we...
I am so sorry.
you barely... I mean, I can fix it. You Nobody really saw it.
No, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, there we go again.
So the Bills made waves this offseason. And they pushed me a little bit closer to liver damage, thanks to Chris over here, by going out and spending. I remember during the draft process, I said there is zero reason to ever draft a punter. I said it. I'm not trying to irritate the special teamer in the room, but I said there is no reason to spend draft capital on this. I'll tell your brother the same thing. I said, I said there's specialists. I don't know why you would spend draft capital on that.
Reed, not only did I call the position, I called the round.
It's impressive.
What are you, Muhammad Ali?
Yes.
I called a round and I knock him out and I picked a round. Okay, tough guy. Here's what I'll say. It's not just any punter. It's punt god. Punt god. That every fan, including this mutant over here, was pounding the table for in the offseason. Obviously, that's cool. But, you know, you're a rookie entering the NFL. And there is a learning curve for all of this. We watch this play out among so many positions. I joked with Matt Waldman this year during our running back preview about how the only thing that this draft is missing is another Notre Dame tight end that'll just disappoint everybody for 3 years. There's certain positions in the NFL where the learning curve, I didn't think Dawson Knox would make the jump. I really didn't. But he was a project. A lot of these guys are. That's what these kids in the draft are. That's what you were when you were a young guy coming into the league. You were a project. So in that way, is it Ariza or Ariza?
Ariza.
Okay.
Yep.
So I don't want to butcher the kid's name for the entire podcast, but Matt Ariza. Like, see, I did the math. I crunched the numbers on just your career. You've worked with four different punters over your career in live NFL games. There's been four on the roster during live games.
Okay.
10 counting camps. Just training camps. See that?
Yep.
And dozens if you include whoever they brought in for tryouts, because you're the guy who's snapping to them during those tryout periods. I think that makes you more than qualified to answer some questions about how hard the job of punting in the NFL is.
Sure.
Because I don't think it's fair to ask questions about where Matt Ariza is today if you don't know what the scope of difficulty of this job really is. I mean, if you had to rank in these three facets of the punter's job, power, accuracy, hang time, if you had to rank them in importance, how would that list shake out?
That's a great question, honestly, because when you are looking at...
We want you to rank them specifically to the city of Buffalo. Power is not a thing in Buffalo. I think it's accuracy.
Yeah, when you're looking at NFL punters in general, you always want to try to have two of the three.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can survive as long as you have two.
Distance, hang time, direction is what we say.
Okay,
you want to try to have two of the three. If you have distance and hang time, the guys can get down there and cover,
mm-hmm.
right? If you have hang time and direction, they're probably not going to return it.
Mm-hmm. Right? They'll just be fair catching a lot of balls.
And if you have hang time and direction, which one did I already say? Hang time,
distance, direction.
Yeah.
So you can at least say, hey, I'm going to kick it out of the 10.
Right.
I can't get it in the air, but I can kick it out of bounds at the 10-yard line.
You try to have two of the three. For Buffalo, it's so tough because I personally think this is the hardest place for specialists to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that to everybody that comes.
I see those wins.
I say it to every opposing team that comes in. They're specialists. We chit chat before the game. They're talking about the win, and I'm just like, this is another day.
This is just another day for us, guys.
Home game, 20 miles an hour, like it's part of it. So if you can learn to snap, kick, or punt in Buffalo, you can probably do it anywhere else. This is just a general, just my general rule. We met a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. They were in rookie minicamp last week. I was out of town. And we had a couple practices this week. He's done a good job. It's I mean, it's a competition.
You're learning.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's the thing is he's a kid learning the NFL game. Yeah. So it's almost unfair to be like, hey, because I hear what fans say. This is where you and I, like you say, hey, you as a fan, you're emotional. I see things from a This is where I can take emotion out of it and I can say, hey, that's a kid trying to learn how to do something better than a guy who's been doing it for 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yep.
But when you see Ariza and you look at the strength and just the power and the kicks that he has, is it as advertised?
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Bojo from a couple years ago. Yeah. Just the style of punt, you know, it's very powerful. The important thing is to be able to harness.
That's it.
That power.
It's sometimes you don't want to outkick your coverage. I mean, because look, Chris and I are two guys who constantly we talk about how we outkicked our coverage. That's great for us. You don't want to do it on the NFL football field because bad things happen.
Sure. I mean, it's like you said, it's a learning process. I'm looking forward to seeing how both guys, you know, compete through all the way through.
So part of that competition. It's a topic that's.
I'm going to chew some of this
blackjack gum. Oh, Jesus. You're a brave man.
Is it flavored?
It's black licorice.
I'm good.
Yeah, no, I said it. It tastes like the inside of a 7-year-old woman's purse.
Keep talking. Sorry, I'm going to smell it.
I love how he's inquisitive about the gum. Mark, what have you done to this podcast?
You could smell it and then turn immediately to your left and place it in the garbage.
Chris, like a lunatic.
How old is this?
A week.
It's just a week old.
A week or two?
It's only been out of the shrink wrap for a week, and that's how hard it is.
Why is it double wrapped?
Because it's from the 70s. So here's one of the things I love. This topic of holding snaps. Now, it's gotten a lot of... Matt Hawk was signed here specifically because he's a very good holder of the football. He kind of helped Jason Sanders down there in Miami go on to a Pro Bowl season. And the Bills signed him because of Brandon Bean said it as much. They signed him in large part because, hey, his holding ability is top-notch. So it's been talked about amongst the fan base. We've debated it amongst ourselves. People calling to the radio station to yell about it. It's gotten so bad that a certain WGR 550 host, yeah, you're out there, Nate. Fucking, you're crazy for this. Who hilariously doesn't own a grill, sous vide guy, came on this podcast and declared that he thinks during training camp he can hold one of your snaps perfectly with no prep. No warm-up, no practice whatsoever. He's going to come off the bus, come out onto the football field and catch a snap from you, put it down, laces out, perfect, someone's going to kick it. First of all, what are your thoughts on this challenge?
How ridiculous is this? I mean, I think I replied to him.
Oh, for sure, you did.
Yeah. I replied to you guys.
Yeah.
You posted the original video.
He's going to have media credentials. He'll be out there on the field.
If he claims he can do it, then I'll give him a shot.
You're not going to take it easy on him, are you?
No, why would I?
Good.
I'm kind of on Team Nate for this. Nate's an athlete.
See, that I didn't know that.
Nate, he played
quarterback. Somebody told me he played college football.
He played Buffalo State backup quarterback.
He played quarterback at Frontier High School.
And he called himself the best holder in Buffalo.
Yeah, the holder of the town.
Okay.
An elite holder.
When did he dub himself that?
A week and a half ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
After the podcast?
Yeah. He played at Buff State. He went from Frontier to Buff State.
Okay.
And I guess was specifically the holder.
Okay. He has game experience.
Yes.
Okay.
At a collegiate level. Whatever
I
you
feel
want,
like that should
whatever you want to call Buff State. Your
feelings on
it.
It
should,
do
but it doesn't.
Not.
It right. doesn't.
I'm
if he's done it in a game, then I don't see why he couldn't.
Yeah. See, I'm on Team Nate because he's an athlete.
I'm not on Team Nate because Team Nate. Nate's a guy who decided he no longer wants to play contact sports. Now he plays golf, and he's constantly gaining weight, then doing keto and losing weight. He's not an athlete anymore. I think he's lost that. He broke his ankle getting off a golf cart.
Don't knock golf.
I'm making light of the injury. Sorry, Nate, if this gets back to you. Know that I'm sympathetic to the fact that you did almost shatter your foot.
It could be an athletic trade-off here. I mean, he could show Matt how to hold a field goal kick, and then also he can give you golf lessons because you picked up golfing.
Is he good at golf?
Yes.
He is good at golf.
He's very good.
What's very good?
Like a whole shoot below an 80.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
We'll see. But so
ask Nate if he's playing in the Bills media tournament.
He probably is.
Tournament in a couple weeks.
I'm sure he is. You'll see him there. So I guess my thing is, so this challenge comes out, we're all laughing about it, but is he making too light of how difficult holding at the NFL level is?
That's a great question because I've never done it.
When you watch guys do it, does it seem like it's difficult? Because I'm sure you've worked with guys throughout college and throughout the NFL that
repetition helps immensely.
Okay.
It doesn't take long to catch on.
Okay. So it's something that you can learn quickly.
In large part, a good snapper helps.
Okay.
Because if the snapper's putting it in the same spot with the same laces every time, then that's a lot less on the holder's plate to worry about.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So
all you have to worry about is catching it and then putting it down with
one
finger. All you got to worry about is catching it and hitting the spot.
Because the long snapper does a lot of the heavy lifting.
The laces will be facing forward. All you got to do is bam, here, put it on the spot. Make sure you don't.
Chris, how crazy is it that he knows how to do that? Like he goes, oh no, I change my rotations and I know just the right amount of torque and spin I can put on the ball to get the laces out of it. That sounds like something. Like if someone were to tell me that, if I didn't see someone do it in person, I wouldn't believe it could be done.
Confirmed from Nate Geary, he is golfing in that Bills media thing in a few weeks.
Awesome. Comes with repetition.
Yep.
But if it, like I said, if all you got to worry about is catching it and putting it on the spot, that's a lot easier than having to worry about catching it, you know, here, you know, behind your shoulder, or if it's low and the laces are off. Then that's, you got to worry about catching it and then spinning it, or catching it and then putting it down and then spinning it. Some guys do it. Some guys try to.
Well, that's wild. I see all kinds of stuff going on.
It kind of depends. It depends.
So with that in mind, though, is this something that arises having no experience holding in college? Does he have a fair chance with the reps that camp him? There's a
I think he has been working on it.
Exactly. So this could
be working on it.
So this could be a legitimate camp battle here.
Sure.
Hawk, Ariza. Obviously the team invested draft capital in one, but signed the other one to a multi-year contract. So it's kind of a win-win for the team because the best man's going to win the job. The upshot is that they're banking on this kid maybe being able to learn this one critical piece of this process. Everybody sees him punt and they say, okay, we think you can do this at the NFL. But there's a learning curve to this. Your job is to just be steady. How much pressure is that on you to just be like, hey, as long as you're steady, or is it the point in your career, does it not even matter?
A couple years ago, if you had asked me when I was maybe first or second year in, I would probably say there's more, you know, that there is some pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I think now, once the ball is out of my hands, it's out of my hands.
All right.
If I'm putting it in the same spot every time, then...
Because you've gotten good enough that you know it's going to the same spot, so you just, hey, I did my job.
Yeah. I'm trying to help whoever's back there do their job the best. So...
Well, and that's...
If I could put it in the same spot every time, then I'm doing my half of the job.
You're doing your
111th? I'm 111th.
You're doing your 111th?
Yep.
The thing that Sean McDermott, Chris, I love this.
I say that to my landlord all the time when she
literally calls her the landlord.
I know he does.
When my landlord texts me about something, You know, like if it's like bringing the garbage or doing the dishes, hey, just trying to do my 111.
Love that.
So as we kind of wind this whole thing down, you're an NFL athlete. Everybody has, I don't know, beyond winning the Super Bowl, because that's, you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't put yourself through this, and most athletes wouldn't, unless winning a title every single year was on your mind. What it would feel like to hold a Lombardi, what it would feel like to know that you're the best at what you do, that you're on the team that is the best at what you do in your respective league, in your respective sport. Everybody has personal goals. For you, what are some of your personal goals heading into 2022? I mean, I'm assuming one of them is get a higher Madden score than your brother. Just maintain that.
Like that's always on the list.
It's always on the list.
Always on the list. A couple more would probably, I mean, just strictly individual.
Strictly individual. What are your personal goals for the upcoming season?
I mean, I think it's always a good, it's always nice to see a couple tackles on the stat line.
You know what's funny? I looked at it. You've only had double-digit tackles in a season twice.
What? What are you talking about?
I went to profootballreference.com.
Double digits?
No, not double digits. No. More than one. Sorry.
Oh, I was about to say.
You've had more than one tackle.
I don't even have double digits
twice.
My whole career.
Digits. Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, no, a lot of it is extremely circumstantial.
Oh, yeah.
Because snappers generally are the last down the field. So if we're making the tackle, it's probably not a good thing.
No, that's fair.
Which is just
because it's different from college where you guys all, were in college you guys are down the field first because nobody can block you.
It's very situational at the NFL level,
Chris.
It's totally random.
I still remember Mike Tolbert.
Mike
Tolbert. You almost had a fumble recovery, and Mike Tolbert took it away from you.
17, I think.
He took it away from you.
If we won that game, I would have been real mad.
It was one of the funniest moments.
Oh my
God! Yeah, I know.
Did it again.
Well, he's too big for the studio.
I keep wanting to stretch my foot out, but I'll stop doing that.
Blake had a
just stretch it out.
No, you're good. I keep kicking it.
It's already down.
Kicking it.
Just stretch your leg out.
Stretch it out.
It's hilarious.
Well, Blake had a fumble recovery earlier this year.
Yes, he did.
We played that for an intro on one of the After the Snap podcasts.
Oh, it's. I'll tell you. And when he got it, were you a little jealous? Like I could have had one.
Yeah. I can't.
It was a typical.
I've never had one the NFL level. I've never gotten
that one. Was like a typical college punt. For whatever reason, Blake was down there first, and it just went through the guy's hands, and then Blake fell on it. But it was
that's what I'm saying. It's a very
it's circumstantial,
completely random.
Whoever's around,
totally circumstantial.
But it was
how about this?
No,
it was
guess.
A little bit sweeter because the fumble recovery was called by Spiro Dedis.
How about this? Are you going to get into and win another scrap? That was awesome.
I hope not.
Squabbles.
I hope not.
I get a text message from one of my buddies. He goes, "The Reed Ferguson's got mad squabbles, boy." He's looking him out there.
I hope not.
What was it in that moment? He goes, "Nah, I'd rather not say."
No idea.
Just in the moment. My dad is behind me in the stands going, "Isn't that Reed?" "Oh, that's Reed. That guy's twice his size." I looked at him like, "Hell yeah, Reed. Give it to him."
Yeah, that was... it is what it is. We won the game.
See, this is what I love about you. You're a gentleman.
Lost the battle.
Lost
the battle, won the war.
Hey, I think he gave as good as you got. I watched the replay 3 times.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Personal
goals.
Yeah,
personal
goals. Madden score. Always
got to be higher than Blake. You can't lose to him on that.
I think all pro as far as individual goals, all pro is definitely top of the list.
All right,
Pro Bowl, sure, mm-hmm. It's a little more
political.
I would say a little more biased.
It's a little more political. It's not great.
It's not full season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, just to continue improving as a leader on and off the field, I think is something that I strive for. every year. So and Smiley's done a great job of helping me with that. So
yep,
it's kind of the same. A lot of crossover.
Oh yeah.
Till I get the All Pro, you know, it might change after that.
Oh yeah.
But that's the general goals for every season thus far.
Super Bowl champion would be nice, though.
Yeah, we said individual.
Yeah.
That's not it. I mean, that's team.
Oh, yeah. But
yeah,
team goal?
I would have said Super Bowl.
Super Bowl champion?
I mean, that's always the goal.
The parade coming down Delaware Avenue? That'd be nice.
That's always the goal.
Buddy, it's been fun having you in studio, catching up with
Appreciate
you, and just getting to do this in a podcast
that.
Form, because I like the fact that, Chris, it's first of all, the fact that he still talks to us is hilarious.
Well, somebody's got to produce his podcast.
No, but what I love
Chris and I grew up together.
Oh, I know. That's what's wild to me is that we're all sitting here talking about this. You almost put Bob Kateris through the DJ table at my wedding.
Yeah.
Hilarious. We've all got.
I'll get in that scrap before I get in the other one again.
This has been a lot of fun. Where can people find you on social? What do you have? You've already plugged what's coming up after this. It's huge. You and Josh Allen getting to chop it up.
Yep.
Where can they find the show and yourself on social media? Where can they follow the Girls Mafia stuff?
Sure.
Plug it all.
Yeah. So start with the podcast, After the Snap Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Girls Mafia, Twitter and Instagram at Girls Mafia. And then personal Instagram, Reed Ferguson, and then Twitter, SnapFlow69.
And you're still
I don't know if that'll ever change. A couple people have asked me if they're like, why don't you just use your normal name?
You
like,
still,
I've had it for a long time.
Are you still taking FIFA challenges on Xbox?
Of course. I don't know if I've ever had anybody challenge me.
No, because they're.
I think I'm the best. I'm the best FIFA player in the NFL. Clip that.
Whoa, the cockiness from a dude who's so incredibly humble.
I mean, my rookie year before Coach McDermott got here, we had PlayStations in the locker room.
Of course you did. And now look, Chris,
and I was number one.
We're winning football games.
I was number
and there's
one.
No more FIFA in the locker room.
I was number one.
If you guys are on, what is it, SnapFlow 50?
On Xbox, SnapFlow 50. It's my
old college number.
My username is...
If you guys play FIFA, challenge Reed.
Yeah.
Please challenge Reed. He's up here. I'm begging you. Yes.
Please.
Yes. He's got a lot of time on his hands.
Yes.
His wife is in another state right now because it's OTAs. Challenge Reed.
Yes. Please.
Guys, this has been a lot of fun. We got to get the hell out of here. I'm Drew Gear. That's Chris Krueger. This is Reed Ferguson. And this has been your Rock Pal Report.